Hello, and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Mike Simpson, and in this show we are going to discuss Java Web Services and the APIs that support them. Be sure to check out my GoGo profile and send in any questions or comments using the box below. All right, let's get started. Web services, as the name implies, are services offered via the web. In a typical web services scenario, a business application sends a request to a service at a given URL using the SOAP protocol over HTTP. The service receives the request, processes it, and returns a response. An often cited example of a web service is that of a stock quote service, in which the request asks for the current price of a specified stock, and the response gives the stock price. This is one of the simplest forms of a web service, in that the request is filled almost immediately, with the request and response being parts of the same method call. Another example could be a service that maps out an efficient route for the delivery of goods. In this case, a business sends a request containing the delivery destinations, which the service processes to determine the most cost-effective delivery route. The time it takes to return the response depends upon the complexity of the routing, but the response will probably be sent as an operation that is separate from the request. Web servers and consumers of web services are typically businesses, making web services predominantly business-to-business or B2B transactions. An enterprise can be the provider of web services and also the consumer of other web services. For example, a wholesale distributor of spices could be in the consumer role when it uses a web service to check on the availability of vanilla beans, and in the provider role when it supplies prospective customers with different vendors' prices for vanilla beans. Web services depend upon the ability of parties to communicate with each other, even if they are using different information systems and different data formats. XML, a markup language that makes data portable, is a key technology in addressing this need. Enterprises have discovered the benefits of using XML for the integration of data both internally for sharing legacy data among departments, and externally for sharing data with other enterprises. As a result, XML is increasingly being used for enterprise integration applications, both in tightly coupled and in loosely coupled systems. Because of this data integration ability, XML has become the underpinning for web-related computing. Web services also depend on the ability of enterprises using different computing platforms to communicate with each other. This requirement makes the Java platform, which makes code portable, the natural choice for developing web services. This choice is even more attractive as the new Java APIs for XML become available, making it easier and easier to use XML from the Java programming language. In addition to data portability and code portability, web services need to be scalable, secure, and efficient, especially as they grow. The Java 2 Platform Enterprise Edition, J2EE, is specifically designed to fill just such needs. It facilitates the really hard part of developing web services, which is programming the infrastructure or the plumbing. This infrastructure includes features such as security, distributed transaction management, and connection pool management, all of which are essential for industrial-strength web services. And, because components are reusable, development time is substantially reduced. XML and the Java platform, being such an ideal combination, have come to play a central role in web services. In fact, the advantages that are offered by the Java APIs for XML and the J2EE platform make them the ideal combination for deploying web services. The Java APIs for XML let you write your web applications entirely in the Java programming language. They fall into two broad categories, those that deal directly with processing XML documents and those that deal with procedures. The document-oriented ones include the Java API for XML Processing, or JAXP, which processes XML documents using various parsers. And the procedure-oriented ones include the Java API for XML Messaging, or JAXM, which sends SOAP messages over the internet in a standard way, the Java API for XML Registries, or JAXR, which provides a standard way to access business registries and share information, and the Java API for XML-based RPC, or JAX-RPC, which sends SOAP method calls to remote parties over the internet and receives the results. Perhaps the most important feature of the Java APIs for XML is that they all support industry standards, thus ensuring interoperability. Various network interoperability standards groups, such as the World Wide Web Consortium, or W3C, and the Organization for the Advancement of Structured Information Standards, or OASIS, have been defining standard ways of doing things so that businesses who follow these standards can make their data and applications work together. Another feature of the Java APIs for XML is that they allow a great deal of flexibility. Users have flexibility in how they use the APIs. For example, JAXP code can use various tools for processing an XML document, and JAXM code can use various messaging protocols on top of SOAP. Implementers have flexibility as well. The Java APIs for XML define strict compatibility requirements to ensure that all implementations deliver the standard functionality, but they also give developers a great deal of freedom to provide implementations that are tailored to specific uses. We'll discuss each of these APIs shortly. First, JAXP. The Java API for XML Programming, or JAXP, makes it easy to process XML data using applications written in the Java programming language. JAXP leverages the parser standards SAX, Simple API for XML Parsing, and DOM, the Document Object Model, so that you can choose to parse your data as a stream of events or to build an object representation of your data. The latest versions of JAXP also support the XSLT, or XML Stylesheet Language Transformations standard, giving you control over the presentation of the data and enabling you to convert the data to other XML documents or to other formats such as HTML. JAXP also provides namespace support, allowing you to work with XML schemas that might otherwise have naming conflicts. JAXP is designed to be flexible and allows you to use any XML-compliant parser from within your application. It does this with what is called a pluggability layer, which allows you to plug in an implementation of the SAX or DOM application programming interfaces. The pluggability layer also allows you to plug in an XSL processor, letting you control how your XML data is displayed. The latest version of JAXP is JAXP version 1.2, a maintenance release that adds support for XML schema. And this version is currently being finalized through the Java community process at JSR version 63. Second, we'll take a look at the SAX application programming interface. The simple API for XML, also known as SAX, defines an application programming interface for an event-based parser. Being event-based means that the parser reads an XML document from beginning to end, and each time it recognizes a syntax construction, it notifies the application that is running it. The SAX parser notifies the application by calling methods from the content handler interface. For example, when the parser comes to a less than symbol, it calls the start element method. When it comes to character data, it calls the characters method. When it comes to the less than symbol followed by a slash, it calls the end element method, and so on. The default implementations at the message that the parser calls do nothing, so you would need to write a subclass implementing the appropriate methods to get the functionality that you want. For example, suppose you want to get the price per pound for some type of coffee. You would want to write a class extending the default handler, the default implementation of content handler, in which you write your own implementations of the methods start element and characters. You would first need to create a SAX parser object from an SAX parser factory object, call the method parse on it, passing it a price list and an instance of your handler class with its implementations of start element and characters. In this example, your parse list could be a file, but the parse method could also take a variety of other input sources. Could take an input stream object, could take a URL, could take an input source object. The SAX parser can perform validation while it's parsing the XML data, which means that it checks that the data follows the rules specified in the XML document's document type definition, or DTD. An SAX parser will be validating if it's created by an SAX parser factory object that has had validation turned on. Third, we'll take a look at the Document Object Model API. The Document Object Model, or DOM, which is defined by the World Wide Web Consortium's DOM Working Group, is a set of interfaces for building on object representation in the form of a tree of a parsed XML document. Now, once you build the document object model, you can manipulate it with DOM methods such as insert and remove, just as you would manipulate any other tree data structure. Thus, unlike an SAX parser, a DOM parser will allow random access to particular pieces of data in an XML document. Another difference is that with an SAX parser, you can only read an XML document. But with a DOM parser, you can build an object representation of the document and manipulate it in memory, adding a new element or deleting an existing one. All the names in a document type definition are unique, thus avoiding ambiguity. However, if a particular XML document references more than one document type definition, then there's a possibility that two or more document type definitions would have the same name. Therefore, the document would need to specify a namespace for each document type definition so that the parser would know which definition to use when it is parsing an instance of a particular document type definition. There's a standard notation for declaring an XML namespace, and that's usually done in the root element of an XML document. Fourth, we'll take a look at the Java API for XML-based remote procedure calls, also known as JAX-RPC. JAX-RPC makes it possible to write an application in the Java programming language that uses SOAP to make a remote procedure call, or RPC. JAX-RPC can also be used to send request-response messages and, in some cases, one-way messages. Now, in addition to these conventional uses, JAX-RPC makes it possible for an application to define its own XML schema and to use that schema to send XML documents and XML fragments. The result of this combination of JAX-RPC and XML schema is a powerful computing tool. Now, the Java programming language already has two other APIs for making remote procedure calls, Java IDL and Remote Method Invocation, or RMI. And all three have an API for marshaling and unmarshaling arguments and for transmitting and receiving procedure calls. The difference here is that JAX-RPC is based upon SOAP and it's geared to web services. Java IDL, by contrast, is based upon the Common Object Request Broker Architecture, or CORBA, and RMI is based upon RPC. Now, all varieties of RPC are fairly complex underneath, but the mapping and reverse mapping of data types and the marshaling and unmarshaling of objects all take place behind the scenes and are really not visible to the user. Although JAX-RPC implements this remote procedure call as a request-response SOAP message, a user of JAX-RPC is generally shielded from this level of detail, so underneath the covers, JAX-RPC is based upon SOAP messaging. JAX-RPC is the main client and server web services API largely because of its simplicity. The JAX-RPC API is simple to use and requires no setup. Also, JAX-RPC focuses on point-to-point SOAP messaging, which is the basic mechanism that most web services clients use. Although it can provide asynchronous messaging and can be extended to provide higher quality support, JAX-RPC concentrates on being easy to use for the most common tasks. Thus, JAX-RPC is a good choice for applications that wish to avoid the more complex aspects of SOAP messaging, and for those that find communication using the RPC model a good fit. Sixth, we'll take a look at the Java API for XML Messaging, or JAXM. JAXM provides a standard way to send XML documents over the internet from the Java platform. Since it's based on SOAP and SOAP with attachment specifications, it can be extended to work with higher-level messaging protocols, such as EB, XML transport, routing, and packaging that are built on top of SOAP. A JAXM message is made up of two parts, a required SOAP part and an optional attachment part. The SOAP part contains a SOAP envelope object, which has buried within it a SOAP header object and a SOAP body object. The SOAP body object can hold XML fragments as the content of the message being sent. Now, if you want to send some content that's not in XML format or that is an entire XML document, then the message has to contain an attachment part in addition to the SOAP part. But there's no limitation on the content in the attachment part, so that can include images or any other kind of document, including XML fragments and documents. Finally, let's take a look at the Java API for XML Registries, or JAXR. JAXR provides a convenient way to access standard business registries over the internet. Business registries are often described as electronic yellow pages because they contain listings of businesses and the products or services that the businesses offer. JAXR gives developers who are writing applications in the Java programming language a uniform way to use business registries that are based on open standards such as EBXML or industry consortium-led specifications such as UDDI. Businesses can register themselves with a registry, or they can discover other businesses with which they might want to do business. In addition, they can submit material to be shared and search for material that others have submitted. Standards groups have developed DTDs for particular kinds of XML documents. Two businesses might, for example, agree to use the DTD for their industry standard purchase order form. Since the DTD is stored in a standard business registry, both parties can use JAXR to access it. Registries are becoming an increasingly important component of web services, because they allow businesses to collaborate with each other dynamically, but in a loosely coupled way. Accordingly, the need for JAXR, which enables enterprises to access standard business registries from the Java programming language, is also growing. I hope that you have enjoyed today's presentation. I look forward to your comments and to your questions. You may email your input to me by using the question box found on this page. I will be answering your questions and I will be replying to your comments in upcoming presentations. If you are interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archive for my name, Mike Simpson. If there is a show that you would like for me to do, please send me an email and let me know. Thank you for your time today, and remember to tune into GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com.